VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And thank you for joining us on Crosstalk here on VCY America. We trust today's program will be helping to help equip you with the many challenges that come your way. Increasingly, there are many challenges to our faith today. They're coming from all sides, whether it be within family settings, whether it be within academia, whether it be through a broadcast media, the celebrities of our time. The challenges really to the Christian faith are intensifying, but how do we maneuver in times like these? How do we live out our faith when our faith is being tested and targeted? With us in studio today, it's our privilege to have Carl Kirby. He is president and founder of Reasons for Hope. Prior to forming Reasons for Hope, he was a founding board member of Answers in Genesis, served there for some 15 years. He's a former air traffic controller at Chicago O'Hare, co-creator and host of the video series Weapons of Mass Instruction, presenter of the DVD series for teens, Demolishing Strongholds, and presenter on Becoming Bold, a DVD series for teens and adults. He's a sought-out speaker for conferences, the author of numerous books, and producer of a series of videos as well called Debunked. Carl, nice to have you in studio today.
Mr. Jim, you're always a blessing to have me in here. Thank you, sir.
You, just hours ago, you addressed a group of young people at Wisconsin Family Council's Lead Wisconsin, taking place this week in Watertown, Wisconsin. What are you telling the kids this week? What are you telling the teens?
Well, today was a fun one, because today was like, we live in a world that tells us, well, you got your truth, I got my truth, we all got our own truth, there's no such thing as absolute truth. Well, we debunked that today. that was actually the talk of the title of the talk is like, there is no truth, debunked. And I, Mr. Jim, I got to tell you, I was so blessed today. Those kids were so in. They were laughing. They were applauding. They were in. They were paying attention. They were locked in. So Lead Wisconsin is doing an amazing job at preparing these young folks to be leaders, to get out into the culture, and to take a stand and have a biblical worldview. So we just dealt with the claims, you know, there is no truth. Well, let's talk about that. And we broke it down, and I'm just blown away at the response. It really was.
Tremendous. Now, you actually get out and you speak to a lot of teens, a lot of churches. What do you see as being the greatest challenges that are facing young people today?
You know, the last 2 weeks I've actually been in camps. Week before last, I was out in Hemet, California, spoke at Victory Ranch. And then last weekend, we did our own camp, Reasons for Hope, it's called Equip Retreat, and that was in Marietta, South Carolina. And I was so encouraged. Like, when we do the camps, we hand out the index cards. What are the questions that are keeping you from selling out? Turn it in, because that's what we're going to deal with. And the questions are very broad. But if you're going to look for a trend, the trend is going to be, how can I trust the Bible? How can I know that it's true? How can Jesus be the only way? It's those types of things. But then the creation and evolution issue, it always comes up as well. I'll tell you one question that it was like, I think it was the first one I answered out in Victory Ranch. The guy said, and it's not really a question. You know, he put the statement. He said, I don't believe that God created the earth. I believe that evolution happened. Man evolved from ape, and the asteroids hit each other, or meteorites hit each other, turned into the earth. But there's a God, and when I need him, then I pray to him. And so that was like the first one I got, right? So I say to the people, these young folks here, I say, well, first of all, this isn't a question. This is a couple of statements. So I'll address the statements and see where we go. First of all, you don't understand evolution, because evolution doesn't teach that we evolved from apes. Humans did not evolve from apes. According now to the theory of evolution, it teaches apes and humans came from a common ancestor. So you don't understand evolution. Number two, you don't understand the biblical God, because the biblical God is not the God that you just described. The God you described is a genie in a bottle. You rub it when you need something, or you wrap a lucky rabbit's foot around your belt or something. I said, so you don't understand evolution. You don't understand the biblical God. So I think we really need to talk. That kid on Friday, I didn't know who it was, because it's all, don't write your name, just turn it in. Let's deal with it. That kid on Friday, he had been a roughneck. I didn't know who he was. He was a kid that was like smart aleck comments and all that kind of a thing. Friday, that young man came forward sobbing. He couldn't even breathe, Mr. Jim. He couldn't breathe, and he's giving me this hug. And he's like, I'm the guy that wrote that question. Thank you for answering that. People have never talked straight to me like this.
Wow.
So what I'm seeing is that you've got a generation that is absolutely seeking, but they're looking for something that is real and honest and straightforward.
Does that differ than the questions that adults are having today, too? I mean, you're talking about that teen focus and the camps and so forth, but are moms and dads and adults fitting into that same camp?
We're working on our book right now. We're calling it 30 Questions That Teens Asked in Camps, but adults need to have the answers, too, as well.
Hmm.
It's the same questions, Mr. Jim. It is the same questions that adults ask, the youth are asking. And I think it's in part because the youth aren't getting the answers from the adults. And so if the adults don't know it, then it's passed on and it just kind of keeps going there and it's in limbo land. So what I'm finding, though, is that when you can fire that adult up as well. And here's what's weird to me. Like me, I'm not a deep theological guy. I'm kind of like keeping it pretty simple. If you can communicate where a junior hire will pay attention to you, the adults will pay attention to you. So that's what we're doing, is taking these issues that they're throwing at us and then just being as straight with them as possible and showing real world application to it. And it, gosh, it's working.
Carl, you have this mantra in your ministry, be bold, be bold, be bold.
Yeah.
Bold about what?
You know, Mr. Jim, you know where that started? It's so weird. I was writing, whenever I'd write my letter, I would always end it with, stay bold. And I never really thought about it. I just wrote that. And it was more of a reminder to me to stay bold. I wasn't really intentionally doing it for the receiver. I was doing it more for me to stay bold in the way that I live my life. And I'm saying that we need to stay bold. As Christians, we need to be bold enough to go out into this culture and let them know there's another way. 900 hours a year is the average time a young person spends in a school system, and 80 to 85% of the Christian homes send their children to the government school to be trained by the world to think like the world, and we wonder why they go to the world. That same young person then spends 1,064 hours watching TV, 936 hours a year playing video games, and they're learning a history that absolutely undermines the Word of God, that destroys hope. Because true hope can only be found in Jesus Christ. And so we need to be bold in the fact that God is who he claimed to be.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus is who he claimed to be. He did what he said that he did, the way that he said that he did it. And because he did that, we therefore have hope that we can spend eternity with this God who created. And it's not his fault that we see the ugly, nasty things that we see. It's our fault. He wanted us to be in that relationship with us, with him. He gave us the opportunity. We rejected it. So therefore, what we see today is not our, not his fault. It's our fault. We blew it. So we have to be bold enough to go speak the truth that there is another way in a culture that really doesn't want to hear it. But inside, I think they do, because they want hope.
We are living in a time when we're being told not to create waves.
Yes.
Let's all just, you know, get along with one another. Don't create waves. How does this comport with being bold?
It doesn't. I mean, I tell the young folks, I say, guys, especially when we're dealing with some tough issues,
mm-hmm.
like Juan's flying up tomorrow. He's flying up because he's going to address transgender and homosexuality with the Lead Wisconsin group. When we are talking on these topics, it's not going to be accepted in this culture that has already compromised and given up on it. This is just the way that it is. So I tell the kids, look, I have to come in here and look you in the eye and love you enough. True love is willing to look you in the eye and tell you something that I know you don't want to hear, that is going to go contrary to everything that you believe, quote unquote. But I have to, because there is a real heaven, there is a real hell, and if you make decisions that are contrary to what God has said, you are going to spend eternity in hell. We don't want to talk about that. We want to water that over and cover it up and smooth it. You can't. There's a real place called hell, and people are going to go there, and true love is willing to take the chance to speak straight to you, praying that you hear the heart behind this, not condemnation, but I don't want you to be condemned. Because if I really don't like you, I'm going to pat you on the back and tell you that you're okay because I don't want to make waves and you just go do what you're going to do. And then I know there's eternal consequences. That's hate, man. That's real hate. Real love's willing to take the shots.
And yet that real love, you're branded as being a hater or
exactly.
bigoted or intolerant.
Woe to those that call good evil and evil. I think I read that somewhere.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's exactly what we see going on in the culture. Satan has become a master at twisting. You know, it's you get into this, all these word games, you know, like Noam Chomsky, right? There was a quote that I just read recently where he talked about, look, if you want to begin a revolution, you got to come up with a slogan that everybody can get behind. And that's what I see going on. You know, Black Lives Matter. Of course they do. Who can argue against that? But that's not what the ultimate meaning is. And so you can use the social justice. Who's not for social justice? I'm for social justice, but that's not what the meaning is. Mm-hmm. So we see these guys playing word games, and that is Satan's realm to the T.
And that's something important to point out, because we have to look. The dictionary words sometimes have different definitions to them, and is finding out those definitions that's critically important?
You better believe that. I got saved in Salt Lake City, Utah. You a little worried, Mr. Jim?
Mm.
I mean, there's something that Salt Lake City, Utah is known for, and it's, well, we're Christian too. Well, it's in our name, and I'm like, look, just because somebody uses a word doesn't mean that it's the exact same meaning that you and I are meaning. We have to get down to it. I mean, I actually did that today. What does truth mean? If we're going to defend truth, I asked these students, I said, can anybody define truth? Truth, what is it? Dictionary definition. Truth is that which has fidelity to an original. If you lose that definition and it becomes, well, it's something that we all agree on, because one young man tried to do that when I use an illustration, I ask how tall I am, and they're all like 6 foot, 6 foot three, and I'm like, nah, I'm 12 foot tall. What? And I pull out my dinky ruler, right? And they're like, oh, your ruler's no good. Excuse me? I'm the teacher. I made this thing. I triple-checked it. It's absolutely correct. No, it's no good. Why is it no good? Because it's not right. Why is it not right? Because it's no good. Hold up, man. What you're trying to do is, and I pull up the other ruler, you want to use that ruler. Why? Why is that ruler correct? What makes that ruler correct?
Mm-hmm.
Unless you have a definition for truth, and unless you have a standard reference, something by which to judge what everybody thinks by, truth becomes everybody thinks. What do you think? What do you think? What do you think? And welcome to America in 2021. We need an absolute standard reference, and that's God's word to the Christian.
And so often we hear, well, that's your truth, and I'm glad you can accept your truth here, but my truth is different than that. How do we respond to that?
I do some things. I thought you, okay, that was one of the questions that I got, too, but it was like a 2.5-page question. It was really interesting. So the guy's like railing on me. Nobody, I can, if I believe something, even though it's false, it's as true to me as it is if it were true to the real truth to somebody else. Mm-hmm. Well, let's try that. Let's play that out. And I give a real world example. Oklahoma. Gentleman was riding his bike home, 10:30 at night. Police pull him over. They look in his backpack. He's got a white powdered substance in there. He says it's not drugs. The police says it's drugs. He says it's not drugs. They say it's drugs. They test it. It's drugs. He goes to jail, the worst jail in Oklahoma. I mean, nasty jail. He's going to be there for months before he can get into the court system to try to defend his innocence. The jail is so bad that he pleads guilty, gets sentenced to 15 years in prison. They retest the white powder substance. It's powdered milk. If you want to tell me that truth can be, well, I believe this is not true, and now you believe it's true, well, that police officer believed it was true, that man would have spent 15 years in prison if they hadn't got to the bottom line. There is truth. And we can all pick and choose what we want, but ultimately, at the end of the day, there is only one truth. There's an absolute truth. And if you don't believe it or not, it doesn't matter. It's true.
Let's define that source of ultimate truth.
That's what I do as a Christian. Say, look, if you as a Christian cannot accept the Word of God as your standard referent, and that's what we need in order to know if something is correct or not, if it's not the Word of God, you're in trouble. Because if it's just your opinion and the majority rules type thing, well, we see where that's getting us right now, and it's not good. So I just give real-world examples like that. I mean, I'll tell you one that I gave today that, to me, is most powerful. I'll tell you when we come back.
Thanks for setting us up for that. Carol Kirby with us today from Reasons for Hope. By the way, his website, r4h.com. The letter R, F-O-R-H.com. Back in 1 minute, you're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America.
To Genesis with Dr. John Morris, president of the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, the age-old question, is it true that man evolved from the apes?
No, it is not, Chris. Humans were created separately. The animals, including the apes, were created after their kind, but humans were created in the image of God. Man is not related to the animals. But according to evolution, we are descended from the animals. It used to be thought that a rodent, a rat-like animal, was the common ancestor of all the mammals, but a recent study showed that the closest living relative of the common ancestor is the aardvark. How about that? We came from an aardvark. Chris, isn't it about time we recognize the evolutionary view as abject foolishness? Isn't it time we go back to Genesis and get it right?
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Visit our web store at icr.org/store and use the promo code FACT at the checkout when ordering your That's a Fact DVD.
How to respond when your faith is challenged, our topic here today on Crosstalk. Carl Kirby is with us today from Reasons for Hope. And Carl, you were leading us up into a real illustration when that break came upon us here.
Yeah, a story that I use. I use a quote. I say, do you agree with this quote? And the quote says specifically, speaking your truth is the most powerful tool we all have. Mm-hmm. And what I'm finding is that for the most part, people are going to, yeah, that sounds really good. And so what I've done then is I kind of set it up, and I was in Chicago, and I used that quote, and I said, okay, hey, by the way, you didn't know this, but after I finish speaking here, we're going to go downtown Chicago, and I've got signs already made up, and we're going to use our signs to share this truth, that truth is the most powerful tool we all have. Speaking your truth is the most powerful tool we all have, right? And I had Donald Trump's picture on there. I said, you're going to come with me now downtown Chicago and show that? No, we're not going to do that. And by the way, secular audience a lot of times. Do you like that quote now? No, we don't like that quote. What do you mean you don't like the quote? You liked it before? No, we don't like it. Why don't you like it? Because we don't like the messenger. And this is the problem. The church has gotten to this stage where we're looking at the messenger and not the message. So then I say, but that's not the person that said that message. Let me show you who said it. And it's Oprah Winfrey. Speaking your truth is the most powerful tool we all have. And then she gives a story about Recy Taylor. And there was a powerful, I mean, Mr. Jim, there was a powerful, powerful talk that she did. I didn't know who Recy Taylor was. And all the times that I've been using this illustration, I've been asking, anybody know who Recy Taylor is? I've not found anybody that knows who Recy Taylor was. So I tell the story. 1944, Recy Taylor was coming home from church. Six white men pulled her into a car, took her out into the country. They raped her. When they were done, they took her back into town, put a bag over her head, kicked her out of the car, said, if you tell anybody, we're going to kill you and your family. Mm-hmm. She wasn't quiet. She went to the police. They identified who the men were. They each came up with $100, offered it to the husband, said, hey, isn't $600 enough for raping your wife? She still pushed. The sheriff would do nothing. They did not arrest not one single man. Not one of them went through anything. No repercussions. She went to the ACLU, got a lawyer to come into town. The police broke into her house. The sheriff told the lawyer, get out of town or I'm going to lock you up. By the way, that lawyer was Rosa Parks. And that's where she started her activism, was right there. So I put this, I say this, look, this is wrong, period. Speaking your truth is the most powerful tool we all have. Think about this. If Recy Taylor's truth was what they did to me was wrong, those six white guys, they have the right to speak their truth. And their truth was, we gave her $100. What's wrong with it? You see, if there is no God, if there is no God, then everybody's going to be free to do what they want to do in their own eyes, and you're not going to like that world. Because there is a God, then we can say, I don't care what she looked like. I don't care what they look like. It was wrong, period. That's the truth, not one specific person's truth. And so I try to use real-world examples like that to challenge people. You don't want everybody having their own truth. That's ugly.
There's a lot of intimidation going on today where, you know, one's faith is challenged and yet just staying quiet and not speaking up to it. You're saying, got to be bold.
We have to. This younger generation especially, like I do this with them when I'm talking and I ask a question and they give an answer. And I'm like, what? Like I did it to the one girl. I said, why is my ruler not right? Well, because your ruler, this is the right ruler. And I said, oh, you close-minded, intolerant, bigoted, opinionated hick. You're trying to jam your ruler down my throat. And it's like, ooh, you know. And I'm like, this is what's going to happen to you guys. Mm-hmm. This is a tool that Satan is using. Intimidation, mocking, ridicule, and it's very effective. 400,000 plus churches across the nation of America, and Christianity is almost invisible. We have got to be willing to take some shots for Jesus Christ. He died on a cross for us. We should be willing to let somebody call us a bad name. Get over it.
And it's not really a new tool. I mean,
no. Isn't
these are the Sanballats and Tobias out there against Nehemiah, the mocking, the ridicule, and even Scripture talks about it in the last days there are going to be scoffers.
Absolutely.
And certainly to know that and to expect that. You've been sounding this alarm for some time. You've been going out and you've been speaking, you've been challenging. Is your message being heard? Is change taking place? Are you optimistic that a difference is being made? Or are we just speaking to the wind?
I am absolutely optimistic. 18 young people in the last 2 weeks at camp, 18 young people have made professions of faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that's not huge numbers. That's not like, ooh, we had 1,000. I don't base success on that. I base success on the fact that I'm being obedient to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And the piece that really fired me up, just this morning, I got an email from my buddy, Dave Glander, who's joining us as one of our speakers, and he's running our equip camps. He sent me this email, and it had a link to a video of five of the young ladies with their youth leader standing up in front of their church for 20 minutes defending their faith in front of their church, sharing with them what they had learned in our week. And on day one of our equip camp in Marietta, South Carolina, we asked them, how many of you have ever heard of apologetics? Not one hand went up. Not one. And so we spent the next 5 days with those young people teaching them how to give an answer on how you can trust the Bible, how you can trust that God is who he claims to be, and how Jesus is who he claimed to be. And here I see these young folks, 20 minutes in front of their church, standing up for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm like, that's it, man. If that's all we can get out of it, that's all we can get out of it. Praise God.
So often we see that the Lord spent his time, investment in just 12 men.
Mm-hmm.
And so we talk about numbers, but we see how the world was changed,
yep,
turned upside down as a result of these,
yep,
12.
That's what I tell folks. It's like, look, man, oh, we're a small, tiny church, and we can't do this, and we can't do that, and this is against us. And I'm like, hold up. The book that I read says Jesus Christ turned the world upside down with 12 people.
Mm-hmm.
There's more than 12 people in here today.
Yeah.
There's more than 12 young folks at the last 2 weeks of camps and at this LEAD Wisconsin conference. As a minimum, we should at least be able to turn our own household upside down.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. So. Carol Kirby with us here today in Crosstalk. And Carol, as you know, sometimes these attacks are not only from the outside,
oh,
the,
yeah,
secular world, but coming from within the church as well.
Unfortunately, that is the case, and that's the one that hurts the most. Because when you're trying to take a stand and get people encouraged, and then you get a brother that comes up and is like, oh, you know, you really don't need to worry about that. That's just not an important topic. You need to just focus on this here, or that's just flat wrong. And I'm like, you know, it is a very difficult thing to hear someone that you care about say that to you. But then I have to look at it and say, you know what? Ultimately, at the end of the day, I have to care about what God says about me.
Mm-hmm.
And if he has called me to do this, and he has called whoever is listening here to be obedient, to stand firm, to speak a word to somebody, to share some love with somebody, then you need to listen to him. I'll tell you a story. I had a 20-year-old young man come up to me when I first started ministry, and he looks at me and he says, you know, God told me to tell you, you do not have the gift of teaching. And I was like, And I told him, I said, well, that's interesting because I'm doing what God told me to do. So I think I need to listen to my God and not yours. But thanks for the input. And I'm not trying to sound flippant or mean-spirited, but I think that's what we have to do is get some thick skin and say, you know what? I know God has called me to do this, so I got to do it.
Right. And do it. Where do you see the church headed today?
Ooh, you're talking church structure? You're talking real church. Real church is, I see some neat things happening. Because what I'm seeing is the body of believers, when you have these kids accepting what we're saying to them, and I mean, we're so straightforward. We're not pulling punches. And it's like, to have these teenagers come and say, thank you for shooting this, thank you for calling me out. And that's what I see going on. So I have hope in that. Now, I don't want to sound like the negative downer guy, but I think the day of the 1,000 converts and the big things, I don't see that. I think it's going to be, we're going to be slugging through the mud, man. It's going to be knee to knee, eye to eye with folks. But I'm excited in that. Big things don't excite me. It's that personal, one-on-one, seeing somebody get excited about their faith. And that's where I get excited. But not for the big things, quite frankly.
What's your message to pastors today?
Pastors, thank you for being obedient to the Lord Jesus Christ. Do not be afraid to address the tough topics. Because from my experience, you have a generation out there that they genuinely care. They put on an air that they don't care, but they genuinely care, and they need to know that they can trust the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we can push pastors to be even more bold from the pulpit, I think sometimes we're a little afraid to address these difficult topics because, oh, it's a church split waiting to happen sort of a thing. And I'm not a pastor, let's be honest. I'd be a church of one. My wife wouldn't even attend my church, right? I mean, I'm called to be an evangelist, so I can go out and step on toes and run to the next town. So far be it for me to tell a pastor what to do, but my input would be speak boldly on these topics. Don't run and hide from any of these issues because this generation is genuinely hungry for it.
In that vein as well, your message to parents today, because there is so often, you know, I want to be the best buddy of my child, and they want this on social media. I need to provide that for them. I don't want to create waves. I want to have that nice spirit of harmony in my home. What is your message to parents today?
Please download our app. Go to your app store, type in Reasons, plural, for, F-O-R, Hope, and then go to LFT, it's Long Form Teaching, under my name, Carl Kirby. Please watch the video, Whose Voice Are We Listening To? Because we go through the impact that media is having on children, the video games is having on children. And what I say to parents very specifically is, there's not a parent out there that if they had a child that had a drug or alcohol problem, that they wouldn't do anything and everything they could to get them off of it. They'd put them in some sort, they'd do an intervention, they'd put them on some program. We are paying to put the drug into our children's hands because the smart devices, the computers, the iPads, and I look, Jim, you see me, I got a smartphone right here. Mm-hmm. I got two iPads in my bag out there. I got a computer that I work from. They're tools that we can use, but you better understand the impact that they're having on a generation, and they are destroying a generation. The WHO just came out and declared that gaming is a mental health disorder.
Wow.
So all of these tools that we've been putting in our children's hands are having an impact, and we've got to get engaged with them. And I have so many parents that come up and tell me, well, if I take my phone away from my child, they're going to get angry. And I'm like, did you read the job description for being a parent? Rule number two very clearly says, in big, bold letters, make your child mad. You just got to make them mad for the right reasons. Mm-hmm. There are some battles that we have to fight.
Right.
And then there's some that's like, okay, we'll deal with that. This is one of them. You cannot let your child spend, and this is what the average is, 11 hours a day in media, immersed in media.
My.
3 hours a day, according to secular research, shows an increased aptitude for suicide. 3 hours. And the average is 11 hours that this younger generation is spending. So parents, I would say to you, you've got to get actively engaged with your child, and it can't be through a device. It's got to be knee to knee, eye to eye, looking at them and dealing with these real issues.
No doubt there are parents listening right now who said, Carol, boy, you hit me between the eyes. I need some of those tools. I need the help as a parent. I need to know how to answer these questions and the issues of life. I need to know how I can help my young people. What help do you have? What hope do you have?
Well, for the parent, I would say from us, you download our app. It's free. And now I'm telling you, get rid of smart devices. Now you're telling me to download an app. Look, I know reality. We're using them. So here's something that you can use to help you,
mm-hmm.
that's got good teaching on it. Now, I would say that as a parent, me personally, my child would not have a smartphone. They just would not. I'm just being straight honest with you. They'd have a phone that was so dumb that they couldn't even text on it because I want them to learn how to spell. And U has a Y and an O somewhere, and R has A and E, I think. But I want them to learn how to spell as well. And that dumb phone would not go in their room at night when they shut their door, spend the night. You do not allow your child to walk into a bedroom and spend the night with a stranger. You don't do it. We do every time we let them go with that device. So they get a dumb phone. If you're going to let them have a smartphone, then get something like Covenant Eyes. Get something that is going to help you to keep track of where they're going, because you have to be engaged in this world. But you can't run and hide from it. I know it's no good. It's no fun, but it's a real issue.
Carol Kirby, our guest here today on Crosstalk, and we're going to be taking a break. We'll come back, and I'm going to have Carol give us those websites again, so if you missed them when he stated them, be ready to jot those down. In the meantime, we're opening our phone lines here today on Crosstalk. Perhaps Carol has pricked you in a particular way today. Could you respond to this issue for me? Or I'm dealing with this issue right now. How do I respond when my faith is challenged in this way? Our number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. That's 800-733-9829. If you've got a question for Carol, a brief comment, perhaps you disagree with something that's been said here this afternoon, our line is open, 800-733-9829. You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America.
Increasingly, we are hearing a rallying cry for socialism in our society. Free health care, free education, free food, free everything. Some are fanning the flames by encouraging mobs to change our government, our constitution, and our way of life. Do we really want to go the way of Russia? Of communist China? Cuba? Venezuela? Is socialism a wonderful utopia? Or is it a totalitarian nightmare? Will everything be free? Or will deep state bureaucrats decide who gets what? These are critical issues presented in the book, Socialism, The Real History from Plato to the Present. Author Bill Federer tracks the origins of socialism and reveals how the deep state capitalizes on crises to consolidate control. The book, Socialism, is available from VCY for your donation of $18 or more when you call 1-800-729-9829.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Carl Kirby is with us today from Reasons for Hope, and we mentioned we give out these points of contact here for his ministry after the break. So, Carl, we're going to have you do that. Give us the website and also your app that's available for you as well.
Our website is rforh.com, and another one would be Get Debunked, just getdebunked.org. And that's all things debunked. So that's our debunked videos, debunked TV episodes, mic'd up. Oh, my goodness. We're training younger generation, 20-year-olds that we take out on the street, and they just engage people in conversations. We record those, and we put that up. All that will be found on there, as well as on our app. And our app is just go to your app store, look for the words reasons, and that's plural, for, F-O-R, hope, and look for the blue asterisk on a black background. And all of those videos for debunked and all that, they're on there as well. And so that's really, the app is for the people that are just engaging people in conversation. Somebody says something, well, hey, I got this video, and you can pop it right up on your phone and show it to them. Easier than a website. So, but you'll get the same videos on the app as well.
So Carl Kirby, our guest today, taking your phone calls on Crosstalk. We're going to begin with Terry. And Terry, thanks for calling Crosstalk. You're on the air.
Yeah, you're speaking about your truth is my truth, but we have this massive problem where the pastors are falling down. And I remember years ago we had a rescue here, and Randall Terry spoke in town. He said, it's one thing to trust God, you know, to help us defeat the abortion and everything else, but we don't trust him enough that we actually have to go out there and use contraception. We can't trust God to provide means for another child. How many of you have ever heard your pastor in the last couple of years say using contraception in a valid Christian marriage is equal to cheating on your wife? I bet you haven't heard that anywhere. Why are they just giving into this simple thing? The New York Post said, the New York Times, this is the end of the family, when contraception was allowed by the Lambeth Conference in 1940.
Okay.
How many Protestant denominations are saying contraception is A-OK?
Thank you, Terry, for your thoughts in that regard. Let me just ask, Carl, as it comes to this whole matter of life itself, there is a lot of people saying that, you know, this is not human life. You know,
right.
And matter of fact, you just did one of your debunks dealing with this very issue.
Absolutely. Well, life begins at conception, is what people would say. But I've got a dear friend who challenged me on that. Your life, my life, individual lives began at conception, but life, where did it really begin? When God took dust, formed it, breathed into it, man became a living being. And so life is this gift that's been passed all the way down to us from Adam and Eve. And so, because think about it, if the sperm is dead or the egg is dead, you don't get life. So life is that gift that goes all the way back to God. And so I believe very strongly that we have to take a stand on life and that our children are a gift from God. They're a heritage from God. So,
and we trust God, even as parents, in bringing our children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And if God gives us a child, he's going to make provision for us to care for that child.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Let's go to Connor next. Hi, Connor. You're on the air.
Hey, Carl. How's it going? So I got a friend named Aiden, and he spends a lot of time on his phone and stuff. And it's kind of like taking over his life and his work and everything. So I just know what should I try to do to try to get him back?
Connor, thank you for caring enough to reach out to a friend like that. It's not an easy conversation because what happens typically is when we bring something like that up to somebody, oh, you're judging me, you think you're better than me, and you know they want to turn it around on us. I would say you have to have that conversation with them. If you're seeing changes in his attitude, you might even show him that article that came out from the WHO. This isn't some fundamentalist Christian group. They're saying that they gave very specific things to look for, and if there's a change in behavior, you need to deal with it. And that's the WHO. And if you're seeing that change in his behavior, say, look, man, this, I care enough about you that I got to address this. You see what's happening here, here, here. How can I help you with this? How can we find some other group that we can come in? There are groups out there that can help with that type of a thing. But I believe that when you have a relationship with somebody, they're going to see that you got a heart of caring and love, and I would address them like that.
Thank you, Connor.
Thank you. Have a good one.
Dale in Linden Station, you're on the air.
Hi, just quick comment and a question. I have a daughter who saw that team lead conference, and just all on her own, she just said, hey, I want to go to that. So she's down there right now, and I really commend her. Secondly, I'm almost positive I saw you down at the Creation Museum. Goodness, I'm sure it was over 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And you gave a talk, and one part in the talk you said that you were comparing the number of people that the Crusaders killed to the number of people that the Muslims killed.
Yeah.
And I think there was this stark, huge contrast that most people, I think, are probably pretty oblivious to. Was that you, and do you remember some of the numbers or just roughly what was going on there?
Yeah, I sure do, Mr. Dale. Thanks for remembering, and thanks for letting your daughter come to that. It was, I'm telling you, I had a blessed time with him today. It was so encouraging to see the excitement. Actually, what I do is I make the statement that Penn Jillette is an atheist, and I do a talk called 10 Things I Learned on Evangelism from an Atheist. And it's a video of him sharing how a man came up and gave him a gift of the Bible, and he's an outspoken atheist. And the impact that it had on him is very clear. And he makes one statement where he says, I still believe that religion does a lot of bad stuff. And I say, I absolutely agree with him. Religion has done a lot of bad stuff. Beliefs about where you come from absolutely are going to impact the way that you live. And when people say that more people have died in the name of Christianity than any other belief system, I call it out. That's a lie. Because if you want to start comparing deaths from belief systems, take every quote-unquote crusades, take any and every war that you could ever dream of that the quote-unquote Christians did. And by the way, you know people say Jesus with their lips, but they don't know him with their life. There's a difference. But let's just be gracious, and you can have all of them. Take all those people that were killed in religious wars, double them one more time, and you won't even come close to comparing with Mao Zedong, Lenin, Stalin, individually. More people have been killed because of the belief system of atheism, where there is no God, you are nothing more than chemicals, given enough time, right circumstances is how we got here. That belief system has killed way more people than Christianity could even dream of. And so that's my challenge, not Muslim, but it's atheism.
Okay.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Dale.
Thank you.
Our phone number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. I have a couple open lines, 800-733-9829. We have Nina calling in from Huron, South Dakota. You're on the air.
I just have one quick question. I'm kind of confused. I know that the churches are at a standstill in some churches on where they believe in gays and marriage and all of my life, I've always believed that marriage was between a man and a woman, and I was raised in a Protestant atmosphere and growing up. Now the church that we're in is saying to me that, well, you know, Jesus loves everybody, and yeah, I don't care if you're gay. It doesn't bother me. The only place that I draw the line is in marriage. Am I wrong in believing that? I think that a marriage is our obligation to procreate, to keep our species, so be it, alive, and that isn't going to happen in the gay community.
Well, Miss Nina, was it?
Nina.
Miss Nina, I'm very sorry I mispronounced that.
That's okay.
You're confused. Join the club. There's so much confusion on this topic. Homosexuality is probably number two or three question that I get at the camps, period, when I set out the index cards. Marriage, to be blunt with you, it doesn't matter what I think about marriage. It doesn't matter what you think about marriage. It matters what the one who created the institution said about it. And he, God, who created marriage, said very clearly that it was between a man and a woman. Now, we voted to change that a few years ago, and what bothers me more than anything is that 30% of the people that walked into a booth and put a hole in a sheet of paper or pulled a lever, did whatever it is that they did to vote for our new commander-in-chief, walked in and said Jesus with their lips, but with their lives, they put someone in charge who told them what he was going to do with the institution of marriage and with abortion, and he did it. So the problem is that Christians are not following what God said on it. Now, we don't have to be haters. We don't have to be disrespectful, but there is a biblical marriage. It's where it came from, man and a woman. And one of the reasons is because you mentioned that, yes, for procreation, but not just procreation. God said that he wants godly offspring as a consequence of that union. And so there's nothing wrong to state the fact that marriage is a man and a woman. That's how it was created. Now, we managed to come along and change that, but that doesn't mean that it's right. And I was talking with Mr. Jim about this. It's like, we have to love people enough to share the truth. And if somebody wants to do this, they're free to do it. But there's consequences to the decisions that we make, and we have to make people aware of the consequences. And if you dislike me here, I would rather you dislike me here and end up in heaven than me pat you on the back and tell you that you're okay, but you're doing something that I know is going to lead to eternal separation from God. We got to care enough about people to be willing to take the shots.
And I know, saying, I'm getting this from my church. This is coming from your pastor. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Yeah, Ms. Nina, it blows me away, the compromise that is inside the walls of quote-unquote churches. And that's because, quite frankly, we've lost the respect for the Word of God. Hmm. And we have to call people back to that.
You know, and this whole matter that you're facing, Nina, is not anything new. I mean, let's go back to the garden, Carl. Did not Satan question God's word? Yea, hath God said. Did God really say that? Did he really mean that? And really, sad to say, that's what's coming from the pastor, but it's coming from the world today here, too. Did God really mean that? We think we know better today.
That's the tool that Satan has used from the very beginning, Mr. Jim. He doesn't need a new tool, doubt.
Yeah.
Because if I get you to doubt Genesis, you're never going to sell out for John. And I think it's very, very clear. If I get you to doubt Genesis, then why is marriage one man, one woman? Mm-hmm. Well, you lost Genesis, and that's where that came from.
Right.
Why is death wrong? I mean, why is sin wrong? Well, get rid of Genesis. That's your opinion, because we don't understand that the wages of sin is death if you get rid of Genesis, if that history is incorrect. And this is where Satan has been very smart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think they twist to fit the narrative. Whatever your narrative that you want it to be, there's so much of that going on. And, you know, and then you get way-basted for, you know, believing what you, and you're right, it's hard to stand there and go, okay, well, you know what, you're right, I don't agree with you, I'm not a bad person, I mean, I don't think that being gay is normal, I don't think that we were born that way, I know that society is trying to convince us that we are, and I don't believe that, but I think that what the narrative they try to do is make you feel that you are an unkind person. And, you know, and that's the thing. I'm trying to look for some actual scripture that I can quote and go and say, and you know, you can go online anymore and you can't get anything because everything's being monitored. So, that was kind of my thing. I was just wanted to be able to say, okay,
ma'am, Miss Nina, I'm sorry to interrupt you here, but if I could, I would encourage you to download the app, and not because I'm just trying to get something from you.
Go to the
app and then look up the debunk that says all consensual sex is okay, because we actually address this, and you're going to find Bible verses in there that will support you in what you're asking.
Oh, awesome. Okay. And the app is Reason for Hope?
Yes, ma'am. Reasons for Hope. And then go to the debunked video section. And look for the debunk that all consensual sex is okay. I think it's number 8, but I could be wrong.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you very, very much. And even Jesus, as he was talking, he said, well, haven't you heard, you know, from the beginning, God created the male and female and laid down that marriage relationship once again.
Haven't you read? And to justify marriage, think about it. When he was asked about divorce, what did he do? He quoted Genesis 1 and quoted Genesis 2 to justify that marriage is a man and a woman.
Right.
And so, that's not hate. That's not hate speech. That's people that care enough to say, look, there's a right way to do things, and there's consequences if you do it the wrong way.
Speaking the truth in love.
Amen.
And folks, that love is so important. And, you know, this really goes back to the ruler that Carl laid out for us just a bit ago. We have to have the proper standard, the proper authority, and the authority is God's Word, the Bible. We're going to take a quick break, and we've got a lot of calls lined up, so stay on the line. We'll get to you here momentarily. Carl Kirby from Reasons for Hope with us, back in a minute here on Crosstalk.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. In the last few days, the governor of New York has declared that we need to go door to door, put people in the car, and get the vaccine in their arm. Now he's ratcheted it up to the next level. He's calling on businesses to not allow the services to be rendered to anyone not vaxxed. We have other people in the media, like Don Lemon of CNN, calling on businesses to not give services to those not vaxxed. Are you seeing what's happening here, folks? there is a great setup to violate the religious and civil rights of conservatives, Christians, and conservative Jews. This is not the mark of the beast, but it is certainly laying the foundation where no one will be able to buy or sell unless they have the mark. It's conditioning businesses, government, and people for the Antichrist system. And now you see why it's so important to understand Bible prophecy. I'm Brandon House.
So again, the App Store, check out Reason for Hope. Reason for Hope. Reasons for Hope. Reasons, that's plural, Reasons for Hope. And also Carl's website, R, letter R, the word for, F-O-R, and then H.com. That stands for Reasons for Hope, R4H.com. And check out GetDebunked.org. Let's get back to the phone lines. Elizabeth is calling from Tennessee. Thank you for calling, Elizabeth. You're on the air.
Yes, Mr. Jim said at the first of the program, how do we live out our faith? I say, stay true to God. Thank you, and God bless.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you so much. Beth, in Summertown, Tennessee, you're on the air.
Hey, I just want to say thank you to Mr. Kirby for his debunked videos. Just got back from our Christian camp in very rural West Virginia, and our theme was Dig for the Truth. And we had a set time each day for showing the debunked videos, and then my husband's talks and how we got the Bible. He sprinkled them throughout, and, I mean, the kids really, I mean, they were latched on and transforming their thinking, and these kids were 9 to 15 years old, and one 12-year-old who, in a home where his mother believes the Bible and his father is not, by the end of the week, he said, I'm sticking with the Bible. It's the truth.
Amen.
And so I just wanted to thank you so much for this powerful tool that you've got out there for us to use.
Miss Beth, you have no idea how much you have just blessed me, because that's exactly why we do what we do. And I'd like to open it up to other folks. If you'd like to get the debunked videos before we release them to the general public, if you have a smart device, go onto your messaging software and send a message. The recipient is 51555. And the message simply reads, once you send it to 51555, it says, adios, you write adios, space, don't write space, just hit the space bar, VCY. And when you send that in, it's going to get a link back that has a hot link on there. You got to hit that and go to the second step, fill that form out. When you do that, you become a debunked offender. And when we release all of our new videos in the future, you get it before we release it to the general public. And Ms. Bell, I am so humbled that you guys did that and used that. God bless you. I mean, thank you.
Yeah. God bless you, and thank you so much.
Thank you, Beth. Laura is calling next from Hollywood, Maryland. Laura, you're on the air.
Afternoon again, Mr. Kirby. I am a mother of eight children, and I've been trying to do it all my life, but my husband has been on board, trying not to let video games overtake our house. And now my husband bought a Disney Plus account, so I'm trying to be open to any suggestions that, you know, I can come to him in a respectful manner and say we really need to get kind of a control of this kind of stuff.
You know, if you guys are open to it, again, I'm going to sound like I'm beating a dead drum or a horse here, but download the app and then go to LFT, Long Form Teaching, and under my name, Carl Kirby, there's a video on there called Whose Voice Are We Listening To? Maybe watch that with your husband, because I go through the numbers, how many hours here, how many hours there, how many hours there, and what's happening as a consequence of that. And it's just taking a lot of secular data. Most folks don't realize. It's my least favorite talk to give. And I gave it Saturday night to a youth group, a youth convention that we did down in Day Spring down in
Waukesha, Pewaukee.
Yeah, there you go. Waukesha, man, I'm terrible. Pewaukee. And the pastor came up to me after it was done and said, my people need to hear that. Would you please redo that again tomorrow for the service? So I did it on the service. So that talk is very challenging. I had a 13-year-old girl in Augusta, Georgia, who heard me give that talk, and I didn't know this till afterwards. Guy came up to me and said, did you hear? Hear what? 13-year-old girl, in the middle of that talk, turns to her mom, gave her her smartphone, and said, I don't need this anymore. So maybe just being confronted with what's actually happened because of these devices and the time that we're spending there, maybe that will help.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that very much. I'll go look that up.
Thank you, Laura. Janice is calling from Tennessee. Hi, Janice. You're on the air.
Oh, hi. Thank you so much for your program today. I'm just reminded I had to learn the definition of love when I went through post-abortion syndrome counseling several a couple of decades ago. And it's right. I mean, I want to reiterate, Jesus, God loves everyone. But there is a definition to love, and it's a biblical one in 1 Corinthians 13. And I had to learn that love does not divide in evil, but it rejoices with the truth. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not proud. Mm. And it always hopes. It always trusts. And it perseveres. Mm. And I just want to say that, you know, God does love everybody, but he has a better plan for your life than the devil does. Mm. Since I threw those two children back to God in his face, he gave me two beautiful little babies to birth, and I didn't take them to birth because of the lie of abortion.
Mm.
And I thank you so much for your program.
Thank you, Janice.
Miss Janice, thank you, and I can hear your heart, and I just want to reiterate, God does love you, and he has forgiven you when you've turned that over to him, and that's the peace that we can have. And one piece that you left out in the verse that you were quoting was, and does not take into account a wrong suffered. And the reason I always remember that is because, boy, that goes so contrary to everything that I was raised with. I was raised with, you hurt me, I hurt you worse. I don't get it even when somebody does me wrong. I get ahead. And that's the problem we have. The trouble with our flesh versus God, help me to submit myself to you, and please take and make me something completely and totally new. He's made you new. Don't let those things stick around.
Thank you, Janice. Appreciate your call. We're going to squeeze one last call in from Florida. Mac, you're on the air.
Thank you, gentlemen, for this perfectly on-time message today. Brother Jim, I just want to say that there's also a lot going on now, you know, with the Moody Bible Institute as well. When you had Dr. Lister on, it was a shocker. I got a bunch of copies for my Connect group.
The book, We Will Not Be Silenced. Yeah.
Correct. Yeah, that, and plus he's got that that prayer on fear that he released as well, you know, and it takes a good 8 minutes to go through the prayer, and a lot of people were stunned when we went through it in our group the other night, but this is a timely message, and I also finished Uncommon Submission recently by, can't think of the gentleman's first name, but last name is Fisher, and it's all about being bold, what your guest was just saying today. It's shocking.
It is. And tell you what, I'm going to have to leave it there, Matt, because we're down to 30 seconds. I'm going to give Carl here the final word.
Oh, Mr. Matt, thank you. And to the folks that are listening, please do not let the darkness keep you from sharing the truth. God has called us to be the light, and the darker it gets, the brighter we should shine. I remember going into a cave, and they turned the lights off, and that's the darkest dark I've ever experienced. And it struck me that if all I had was a single match, I'd be king of the world, man. That little light would shine. Well, the darker it gets, the brighter we should shine. So shine for the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Carl, thank you for being here today. Carl Kirby, be praying for him as he goes back to the lead conference and ministering to the young people and to further meetings from that. But folks, check out the website, letter R, the word for, F-O-R, letter H.com, R4H.com. Also, check out the app at Reasons for Hope. Our time is gone. Thanks for joining us on Crosstalk as we encourage you to stand firm and stand bold when your faith is challenged.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.